Last week we turned our focus on the sacrifices being offered in the Old Testament. And we saw last week how in the Old Testament the people were commanded to bring a sacrifice of a male without blemish. And we saw how a perfect bull in that sense pointed towards Christ because he alone is truly without sin. The sinless one was given up for the sake of us sinners. But now this week we want to focus on the next little detail about the sacrifice. And we hear that in verse 4 of our reading. He shall lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. Now, this laying the hand on the head of the bull is not a pointless gesture. It's not something that just sort of happens. It is a critical step in offering up the sin offering. Because when the hand is laid upon the head in this way, what we see here is a kind of transfer, something going from the man onto the bull, so that the two are then connected by this transfer. And perhaps this is easiest to understand if we actually compare it to something that happens in the days of the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, we see at several points the apostles laying hands on people. In fact, all throughout the book of Acts, we see this happening. In Acts chapter 8 in particular, we are told, "Then they," the apostles, "laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit." So, in other words, the apostles lay their hands on these people, and the Spirit is given to them through it. There's a kind of transfer from the apostles to the people. Now, this is not something magical, as if the apostles had some kind of superpower that they were able to do this. In fact, they explicitly rebuke Simon Magus for thinking that it was magic, that it was something that could be bought with money. Now, what's happening here, Christians, is that through this laying on of hands, God is giving the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this transfer, this gift, connects the two together. The one who is laying on hands is bound in that sense to the one on who has their head laid upon. And in this way, there is only one church. Through the Spirit, the two are bound together. So again, a transfer and a kind of connection. Now, in the Old Testament, then, we see something similar. The hand is laid upon the head of the bull, so that the two are now connected. But what is transferred from the man to the bull is not the Holy Spirit, but instead it is his guilt. His sins are given to the bull. His iniquity is laid upon it, and so the bull bears it instead of him. And just as the giving of the Spirit in the New Testament united the two people together, so also here we see a kind of uniting between the man and the bull. The bull becomes his representative. In a sense, the bull is the man. And in this way, the bull takes the place of the man. And when the bull dies, the sin is carried away. When the bull dies, in that sense, it is as if the person has died at the same time. And in this way, God's justice is satisfied. Man can now draw near to God. His sins have been carried away. We see the same idea a little bit later in the book of Leviticus with what is called the scapegoat. Because on the Day of Atonement, Aaron was commanded to take two goats. One of these goats he was commanded to offer up as a burnt offering. But the other goat became the scapegoat. We're told in Leviticus 16, Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over it all the iniquities of the people of Israel and all their transgressions, all their sins. And he shall put them on the head of the goat and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. So you see the whole process here. The goat comes before them. Aaron lays both of his hands on the head of the goat. The goat becomes the representative of the people. The goat becomes the substitute for all of the sons of Israel. And Aaron then confesses their sins over the head of the goat. And we're told very explicitly that those sins are laid on it, that they are laid on its head. And the goat is taken out into the wilderness where it is let go and left to die. So in that sense, the substitute, the goat, carries the sins away. It dies so that Israel can live. We see this idea of substitution in other places in the Old Testament too. You remember the story of Abraham and Isaac when he was commanded to sacrifice his son. Abraham didn't have a choice in the matter. God told him he was going to do it, so Isaac had to die. And Abraham was perfectly willing to do it, even up to the point where he was holding the knife in his hand. And the only reason why he stopped was because the angel of the Lord told him he didn't have to do it anymore. But notice what happens next. Genesis 22. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Pay attention to those last words. Instead of. That's what we have happening here. The ram becomes the substitute so that it is sacrificed instead of Isaac. The ram died in his place so that Isaac did not have to. The ram became the representative offered up to God so that Isaac would live. So with all of these examples, then, we can see the main point of our reading. The one making the sacrifice lays his hand on the head of the bull. And in that way, the bull becomes his substitute, becomes his representative. And it not only carries the sin of the one making the sacrifice, but it also takes his place and dies so that he may live. The bull dies so that the sinner is brought back to God. Now, as I have said before, though, an animal cannot be a true substitute for a man. Bulls and goats do not know right and wrong. They are not responsible for their actions the way that we are. So their sacrifice could only ever be symbolic. It was why it had to be repeated over and over again. But that symbolic sacrifice that we see here in Leviticus chapter 1 pointed forward to the true substitute who was to come. It pointed forward to the one who would truly take our sins away, who would cleanse us not only outwardly, but also inwardly, the one who would take the sins of the whole world upon himself. In the words of John the Baptist to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is that great substitute, Christians, the one who has truly taken our place. The Father laid all of our sins upon his sinless head, and he carried them all to the cross. He gave his life so that we would be forgiven. He died so that our sins would be forever taken away. Jesus died so that we did not have to. Jesus gave his life so that we would live. As Isaiah puts it so very well, Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let us pray. Almighty God, who has made your Son, Jesus Christ, an offering for our guilt, forgive us our sins for his sake, because he has carried them away on the cross. In his name we pray. Amen.